the world's great novels. The National Broadcasting Company brings you an adaptation of William Dean Howells' The Rise of Silas Lapham, another in our series of books that live the world's great novels.
The self-made man is a familiar American figure. As early as 1875, he was recognized and respected as a solid citizen, recognized by all, that is, by all save a certain Brahmin gentry, the gentleman born of Boston. So it was that for many years, the life of Silas Lapham, the mineral paint king, his wife and two daughters in their home in the south end of Boston, was never remotely touched by the life and manner of the Bromfield Corys in their aristocratic mansion on the hill. The fact that Silas could have bought the Corys 10 times over was of no matter. The criteria were things called birth and breeding, assets in which, according to the Cory standards, the Laphams were totally bankrupt. But then, events took a strange turn. Silas decided to spend some of his wealth on a new home in the Back Bay section, with the thought that it might be of social benefit to his two daughters. And a few months later, young Tom Corey applied to Colonel Lapham, as he was called, for a position. It seems that Tom did not wish to imitate his father's life of genteel leisure. But to say the least, his action caused much speculation in both the Corey and the Lapham households.
Now, Silas Lapham, I want to know the truth.
About what, Bert?
Oh, you know very well. Why did you bring Mr. Corey home with you this evening?
He came to my office this afternoon and said he wanted to go into the mineral paint business.
I don't believe it.
You don't have to, but he did. It was late in the day, so I suggested he come over here and we'd finish the talk.
Now, why do you reckon he'd get interested in the paint business?
He believes in it.
And maybe he believes in something else besides.
I can always tell when you've got something in the back of your mind, Bert. Might as well come out with it.
Well, if this doesn't prove to you he's interested in our Irene, I don't know what will.
Oh, no.
I told you he spoke real pleasant-like to her that day we met at the new lot on that day. Of course, what man wouldn't? Irene's such a beauty.
Now, Bert, you'd better not start jumping at things.
Me? It's you I'm worried about. If I thought you gave him a job just on account of he's a Corey...
Hold on now. He came to me. I didn't send for him. And if the fella's got some spunk like I think him to have, that's natural enough. I've made a lot of money, every cent earned, and I ain't ashamed of my business.
Well, of course not.
Ain't ashamed of my girls, neither. They're good enough for anybody.
Well, I confess, Tom, why you would want to go into business in the first place, particularly the paint business, is a mystery to me. But why ever did you have to go to Mr. Lapham's home?
To discuss the matter further, Mother, he wanted to get all my ideas about distributing the paint in Mexico and South America.
I see. What sort of people do they seem to be at home, Tom?
Very natural and normal. They're a family devoted to each other.
And Miss Lapham. She's quite pretty, I understand.
There are two Miss Laphams.
Well, naturally, I was referring to the younger. They say the elder is rather plain.
Plain? Well, I never thought of her in that way. She's very humorous.
Really? Tell me, Tom, frankly. Why do you think Colonel Lapham has taken you into his business so readily? You don't suppose it was any sort of personal consideration?
Personal consideration?
Yes.
Well, I rather hope he does like me.
You do? But why?
Because he's a fine man, Mother. Perhaps not the sort you're used to.
I dare say not.
But I'm sure you'll get to like him, too, when you know him.
Tom, you're not suggesting we should become acquainted. Well, I mean, you don't think
not
that...
Not right away, Mother, but after I'm settled, I think it would be very nice. Not that Colonel Lapham or Mrs. Lapham expect such a thing.
Oh, no. I'm sure that idea never entered their minds.
Beats me what you women are so fidgety over. You've got the best new dinner dresses that money can buy.
Now, you stop right there, Silas Lapham. If the truth were known, you're as nervous as we are.
Oh, what's there to be so nervous about? Here, see if you can fasten this darn collar button, Pert.
Stand in the light. Well, in the first place, I don't know what we're going to talk about to the Coreys. We've never been to such an affair before.
It's just a dinner. You've eaten dinner before, even if we do call it supper. Anyway, I guess we can carry it off.
That's the spirit, Colonel.
Penelope, you're always treating everything like a joke.
Now, Reen, don't frown. You know you look your prettiest when you smile.
Oh, Pen, I really wish you'd change your mind and come with us.
I told you I wouldn't the day you got the invitation, Mother.
Well, I'm dumbed if there seems to be any end to this thing. If it's due over again, I'd say no for all of us.
Father!
Don't tease, Irene.
I didn't mean to tease. I'm serious. Well, I feel better when Penn's around. Once you change your mind, Penn.
Oh, Colonel, it's best that I don't go. You'll see when you get there. After all, Irene needn't open her lips, and they can see how pretty she is. But they wouldn't know how smart I am unless I talk. And even then, they might not be convinced.
Well, I guess I know better than to waste my time arguing with you. Pert, you'll just have to say she had a headache.
Oh, dear. I do wish I could remember all the things I read in that etiquette book.
Ah, don't you fret. That dinner will pass off just as easy and natural as you please. And then my collar button's come undone again.
Is Miss Penelope still in the carriage?
No. She didn't feel just like coming tonight. I don't know if she's feeling very well.
Oh.
Awful nice picture on the wall there, Mrs. Corey. Your daughter, I guess.
No. My daughter's grandmother. She was Miss Polly Burroughs.
Oh, you don't say. Miss Polly Burroughs, eh? Well.
I was saying to Colonel Lapham, it'll be nice when summer comes and we can go to the ocean.
Are you planning to visit Bar Harbor this summer?
No. We always go to Nantasket.
Nantasket? Oh, yes. Nantasket.
Will you have another glass of Madeira, Colonel Lapham?
Don't mind if I do. Not one for strong drink, usually, but this is plenty good.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, as I was saying, if anyone had told me 10 years ago I'd be building a house on the Back Bay, I'd never believed him. But I aim to make it the finest of them all.
I'm sure it'll be very attractive.
It's on the water side of Beacon Street, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I always say when it comes to the Back Bay, give me the water side of Beacon every time. Hey, the way I look at it, anybody could have done what I done in the business if they had the business ability and was willing to work at it. Why, Corey, I wouldn't be surprised to see your boy getting ahead much the same way. Say, maybe I will have another small glass of that Madeira.
Still awake, Si?
Yes, Bert, I'm awake.
It was an awful nice party, don't you think?
Sure was.
They're awful nice people.
Sure are.
Didn't Irene look beautiful?
Sure did.
And I think we acted proper enough, don't you?
Why, of course we did. Why, see here, Bert, We're pretty important people in this town. Guess they realize that, too. But just today, Pert, I loaned $20,000 to old Rogers.
Silas, to Milton K. Rogers, your former partner?
Nobody else but. He had the rights to some patent he wanted to promote, needed some money, so I loaned it to him.
Oh, I'm awful glad, Silas. You know, I never felt you did right by forcing Mr. Rogers to sell you his interest in his business.
Persis, how many times have I told you it was an honest business transaction?
I know, Si, I know. But you made so much money later, I always felt... Oh, but it doesn't matter now. You've evened things up. I'm proud of you. And I'm happy too, Silas.
Are you, Pert?
Yes, I am. You know, I used to think maybe we weren't the Coreys' equal, but now... Well, I reckon the children have a good chance of being.
Of course they have. And I guess I drank that Madeira just as fancy as any of them.
Good evening, Mr. Corey.
Oh, good evening, Miss Lapham.
I'm sorry, but the rest of the family's out this evening.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, it's very good of you to see me.
Well...
I hope you're better tonight.
Oh, yes, thank you.
We all missed you very much.
Thank you. The family went to a Spanish students' concert.
Oh, did they? It's, quite warm outdoors.
Is it? I haven't been out. I've been reading.
I know you're the reader of the family, Miss Irene told me. She says you make fun of everything, too.
Oh, I must give Irene a scolding.
Oh, I hope you don't forbid her to talk about you.
Does Irene talk about me?
Well, perhaps it's only I who talk about you. I have to talk of you because I get to talk to you so seldom.
Why? I don't know what you mean.
Sometimes I've thought... I've been afraid that you avoided me.
Avoided you?
Yes. Tried not to be alone with me.
Irene will be sorry to miss you.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be glad. I must bore her because... I meant to say that it's I who make her talk about you. Oh, there's something I want to tell you. I meant to talk with your father first, but... Now that I'm here with you, Oh, Penelope, I love you.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, no. Not me.
Who else?
Well, I thought... Oh, what have you done?
I haven't done anything but tell you I love you.
Oh, don't laugh. This is terrible.
Why terrible? Unless you don't love me.
No, I don't. That's it. I don't love you.
I don't believe you. I'll wait until your family comes back and ask
them. No, you mustn't mention it to them. Not yet. Oh, please. If you love me, please go. Please.
Give me a kiss first.
Oh, but I... They're coming. I promise you'll say nothing.
Well, yes, I promise. Pen, come back. Don't...
Why, Mr. Corey.
Well... Mr. Corey, I do declare. How nice.
Hello, Corey.
Good evening. How do you do?
Sit down. We didn't know you was here.
I called to speak with you about a matter, but... well, it's so late now.
There's no time like the present.
I really can't now. Some other time. Well, good night, Mrs. Corey. Miss Irene. Sir.
Good night.
Good night.
What in thunder got into him, you reckon?
Irene.
Mother, you don't really think...
What else? The way he acted, waiting here all alone.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Really, just...
You two can talk more and say less than any two women I ever knew. What are you cackling about?
Mr. Corey.
Well, I ain't that dumb. What about Mr. Corey?
I'll tell you what, Silas Lassen. He came here to see you about Irene. And then he hadn't the courage.
Oh, Mother!
Persis Lapham and her younger daughter expected the following weeks to be filled with excitement and happiness. But they proved just the opposite. Tom Corey was conspicuously absent from the Lapham home. Penelope spent her days reading in her room, and when she did appear for meals, she was so silent and swollen-eyed, her family began to worry about her health. Even Silas of late was wearing a harassed, solemn look.
Persis, wait.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Silas. You know, I don't make a practice of coming to your office, but I had to talk to you without the girls around.
Well, that's all right, Bert, but what...
Something awful's happened.
Yes, I know.
You know? And you didn't tell me?
I guess we're talking about two different things, but what's the trouble?
I just found out today. She finally told me.
Who told what?
Mr. Corey hasn't been coming to see Irene at all. He's been coming to see Penn. Now, are you satisfied?
Bert, that ain't my doings.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I'm just so overwrought. Oh, Silas, what are we going to do? I told Irene, and she took right off for the old family house at Lapton Village. I know it's killing her. Why, it just never entered my head he was interested in Penn. Why,
now,
I just...
hold on, Bert. There's no cause to get so worked up.
No cause? Sorry.
I'm upset, too, but we got to look at this calmly. If he wants her and she wants him, I don't see what all the fuss is about.
Now, you stop right here, Silas Lapton. If I thought that, if I really believed you could be willing to break that poor child's heart and let Penn disgrace herself by marrying a man that had as good as killed her sister just because you wanted Bromfield Corey's son for a son-in-law...
Now, you stop, Persis. Don't you never accuse me of that. You've had your heart set on Irene's being a Corey from the first day that boy said, how do you do to her?
Silas,
it's a fact. And we figured because we had a lot of money, the Coreys would accept us. But now... Well, now we can't even be so sure about that.
Silas, what are you saying?
I'm saying we don't have as much money as you think.
Silas.
I told you I loaned Roger some money.
Yes?
Well, I've been getting in deeper and deeper with him. Been throwing good money after bad.
How, Silas?
Oh, Roger sold me a lumber camp in Michigan. It's on the line of the Northern Railroad, and it's been doing a land office business. But what Rogers forgot to tell me when I bought it was that the Central Railroad just leased the little Northern line, and the Central wants the timber and the mill.
But if the railroad wants its eye, don't that make it more valuable?
Well, except the Central owns the only main line that goes near the place. So if they want the mill, you can take what they offer or try to carry the lumber to the market yourself. They won't touch it.
Oh, dear.
The worst of it is, I can't maneuver much with cash so scarce.
Well, we've had our slumps before, Silas. We'll come back. And even if we have to give up the house on the back bay...
No, Pat. Don't talk like that. We'll just stop work on it for a while.
Just as you say, Si. But I've had a happy home with you ever since we were married, and... I guess I'll have it as long as you live, whether we go to the back bay or to the old house at Lapton Village. So don't fret, Si. I've seen you in trouble before.
Yes, but I was younger then. I weren't afraid of nothing. But I don't believe I could pick up now from a regular knockdown. Why, Reen, what are you doing home?
I heard about your troubles, Papa, and I thought I should be home.
Well, there really weren't any call if you were happy at Lapham Village.
I wanted to come to see Penn, too. Mama wrote me how silly she's been acting, not seeing Mr. Corey, and... Well, I won't have her being such a ninny.
Reen, it's not in the least important to me.
Oh, stop pretending, Penn. I'm not going to have him or anyone else think I'm dying for a man that never cared for me.
Children, stop flaring at each other. Can't you see your father's worried? What is it now, Si?
Yes, Father, what's the matter?
Well, some fellas out in West Virginia making paint. Mineral paint, just like mine. Didn't amount to much at first. They put it out raw and... Then they started baking it like I do mine. Now they've struck a vein of natural gas right by their works. They can pay 10 cents for fuel where I pay a dollar. They're underselling me everywhere. But that ain't the worst of it. Never thought I'd have to say this. But their paint is just as good as mine.
What'll you do, Papa?
Looks like I'll have to shut down the works.
Oh, Colonel, sir.
If I hadn't bought that lumber mill, we'd have enough to tide us along. Couldn't spend money like water, maybe, but we could get along.
I thought you told me this morning, Silas, that Mr. Rogers came by and told you he had some Englishmen interested in buying that lumber mill.
Yes, he did say that. I met with them this afternoon.
They didn't want to buy?
They're willing to buy, but, well, hang it all, Pert. I'd be stealing from them same as Rogers stole from me if I sold to them. If the Central Railroad wants to buy that camp, it won't be worth nothing to nobody else.
Well, I'll see who it is, Mother.
Oh, thank you, Pitt.
Mr. Rogers.
Good evening, Miss Lepham. Is your father in?
Why...
No, Mr. Rogers in, Ben.
Yes, Papa.
Good evening, Mrs. Lepham. I hope you'll forgive my intruding this way.
I...
What did you want, Mr. Rogers?
Come, girls, we'll go and...
Let the girls leave, Persis, but I want you to stay.
Come with me, Ben. Okay,
we'll yes, sir.
Now, what's your business, Mr. Rogers?
I've come to try and put some sense into your head, Lepham. You're a fool if you don't sell that lumber camp to those Englishmen.
And I'll be a thief if I do.
Not at all. Now, those men are acting as agents for a group of people in England who are interested in a colonizing venture. It's a charitable organization with plenty of money. Now, there's no reason why we shouldn't benefit from the charity, too.
Why, those two Englishmen are a couple of rascals, just like you, then. Have you made a deal with them, Rogers?
The whole affair is sound, honest business, Lepham. And I know for a fact that you need the money pretty bad.
I ain't denying that, but I'm not going to have it on my conscience that
All right, don't sell to those men. Sell it back to me.
And as soon as I sold it to you, you'd sell it to that pair.
You'd have nothing to do with it. Your conscience would be perfectly clear.
But if the Central Railroad...
You're not even sure they do want to buy the camp.
Well, I'm just about as sure as a man can be without being certain.
Sell it to me. It's none of your affair after that. It seems to me, Lepham, what with the future of your whole family at stake...
I don't want to hear no more tonight, Rogers.
I've got to have your answer.
I'll give it to you tomorrow morning.
At what time?
9:30.
I'll be there, sharp. Good night to you, Mrs. Lepham.
Good night.
You know, in a way, he's right, Pert.
I reckon he is.
In a way, it really ain't any of my business what happens to the camp after I sell it.
I reckon it ain't.
And we've worked awful hard to get where we are. This sale pull us out.
It would, I guess.
Otherwise, we'd have to move back to Vermont, to Lapham Village. You'd have to go back to kerosene lamps.
I wouldn't mind for me.
But there's the girls.
Yes, we do have to think of the girls, Si.
You go to bed, Bert. I want to set up a while. I've got to think this out by myself. Morning, Miss Dennis.
Here's the morning mail, sir. And Mr. Rogers is waiting to see you.
Oh, yes, yes. All right, I'll see him in a bit. Anything in the mail besides bills, Miss Dennis?
Not much, sir, except a letter from the Central Railroad.
Letter from... Here, let me have it.
Not bad news, Mr. Lapham.
Maybe some folks would think so, Miss Dennis. But for me, well, it's sort of taken a load off my mind. I won't have to see Mr. Rogers now. You can just tell him I'm selling the lumber camp to the Central Railroad.
And then Silas accidentally set fire to his uninsured new house, and it burned to the ground. So Silas Lapham and his family moved back to Vermont. The paint works were taken over by the young and energetic West Virginia Company. Though they kept Silas on to handle the Persis brand of paint, he was soon forgotten by the people in Boston who had once pointed him out as the mineral paint king. Forgotten by all, that is, but the young man who is now in charge of South American distribution for the West Virginia Company. The young man Silas had recommended for his position. His name was Tom Corey. And one day he appeared at the Lapham Farm in Vermont.
But you really should have told us you were coming. I mean, well, I do look a fright.
You look wonderful. Oh, Penelope.
Please. Oh, please, don't come near me.
Your father told me about the mistake, that you thought I cared for Irene.
Oh, Papa shouldn't have.
But can't you see that even if you refuse me, I won't love Irene? I want to marry you, Pen.
I can't. I simply can't.
Do you believe me when I tell you that I love you?
I suppose I must. But I'm not at all what your family wants you to marry. You've got to go.
But I'll be in South America for 2 years.
Yes, and you'll forget me easily enough. Yes. Go. No, go, but... Oh, Tom, take me with you.
Penelope.
I'll never be able to look anyone in the face again. Boston won't...
Oh, darling. They never heard of a Boston in South America.
Dinner will be ready before long, Si.
I ain't very hungry yet. Sit here on the swing a spell, Pert.
All right.
This'll rest you.
Oh, I'm not a bit tired, Si.
Well, I'm aiming to put steam heating up the gas in the house before winter. That'll be a big help to you.
I'm satisfied the way I am.
It ain't exactly what we'd planned for our old age.
Do you have any regrets, Silas?
About what I done?
Mm-hmm.
Well, funny thing. It don't always seem as if I'd done anything. Seems sometimes like as if a hole opened up for me when the Central Railroad offered to buy, and I just crept out of it. Don't know as I should say it paid, but if the thing was to do over again, right in the same way, I guess I'd have to do it.
And indeed, this was the true rise of Silas Lapham. The Rise of Silas Lapham by William Dean Howells is one of the world's great novels brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air. We are proud to announce that this summer series of contemporary novels is being used by the University of Louisville as part of their home study course, and it is the plan to make such courses available eventually in other areas. The Rise of Silas Lapham was adapted for radio by Agnes Eckhart and was produced under the direction of Homer Heck. Jess Pugh and Hope Summers were featured as Mr. and Mrs. Lapham. Penelope was played by Geraldine Kay, Tom Corey by Harry Elders, Irene by Loretta Poynton, Mrs. Corey by Hilda Graham, Bromfield Corey by Sherman Marks, Mr. Rogers by Ted Liss, and the narrator by Ken Nordine. The music is composed by Emil Soderstrom, and the orchestra is under the direction of Bernard Berquist. Next week, World's Great Novels will present a radio adaptation of Free by Theodore Dreiser. Why not visit your local public library and borrow a copy for your own reading? It's to be had for the asking. This is John Conrad speaking. This program came to you from Chicago and is a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.